And as always, when we are here in the Community Broadcast Center, there is a group of people in the room who are great supporters of WYEP. Give yourselves a hand. I'm Rosemary, and I am thrilled to welcome Tift Merritt back to WYEP. The last time you were here, Tift, you played guest DJ, and I got great response because you really had wonderful things to say about other people's music. But today, we're going to talk about your music. You have a new album out called Stitch of the World, playing Club Cafe tonight, and let's get right into it with a song.
To my mind make no difference, he won't back down and he won't make plans. Yeah, he's mean as a snake, he's my dusty old man. He's mean as a snake, he's my dusty old man.
You just tuned in to WYEP, Tift Merritt playing Club Cafe tonight. Stitch of the World is the new album, and we should point out there is a pretty nifty guitar player sitting next to you named Eric Haywood. And he's on the new record. Oh, yes. You work with some incredible people on this record, by the way.
I really had a dreamy cast of people. Mark Rebo on the guitar, Jake Bella Rose on the drums, Jennifer Condos on bass, Eric Haywood on pedal steel, and Sam Bean helping me out with the songs and singing. So,
well, one thing I want to point out is the producer. This is a woman named Tift Merritt working along with Sam Beam.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is kind of a real kind of special baby for you.
Yeah, you know, I always am pretty opinionated about my work. I'm gazing down as if that's a bad thing, but it is 2017, I think it's, I've made a lot of records, and at this point, I tend to know what I'm after. But at the same time, you know, whenever you're really truly collaborating with people, it makes your world bigger, and you have to be open to that. So I'm always, I always have strong opinions, but I'm always in pursuit of the next place sonically that's sort of just beyond my fingers. So it's really always such a pleasure to surround yourself with people who are such fine musicians. I mean, everyone involved in this project is amazing at what they do. And that's, you know, there's this moving in and out of intensity that's sort of effortless when you're working with people like that. I mean, maybe it's like great sports people, and you just sort of, everybody kind of sits around in this very relaxed way, and then you go, okay, it's time to go. And then everybody brings their A game in this invisible transition, and then everybody walks back out of the room and goes, okay, anybody got a candy bar? You know, it's really, I love that.
Well, you know, the song, A Dusty Old Man, you're talking, you know, pretty much about focusing in on somebody who's lived a little.
Yeah.
Who knows what's going on? And I think you're at that point now where this is your sixth record.
Yeah.
You've toured. You've been out there a lot. You know what the real deal is here. And also, over the last 5 years, there's just been a lot of major changes. And there's nothing like life, even whenever it seems like it's the difficult stuff, that forces you into new growth areas. So we're talking divorce.
Yeah.
We're talking moving out of a place that you've loved, the city, from New York City to
my hometown,
North Carolina.
Yeah.
And motherhood, so, just a few changes.
Yeah, just a few things. I think that's, I don't know, I think what I like to say about this record is that it was a little bit scary for me to write because I didn't have the illusion of having perspective on the things that were happening to me. I think as a writer, it's very easy to sit alone in your room and look at the piece of paper and say, okay, I'm going to sum this one up and put it on the shelf and, you know, this is what I think about this. And that's really a fallacy. I mean, I think good writing usually comes from knowing that you can't really sum anything up and file it away. And in this case, I knew that I was really dealing with a lot of material that was probably going to take me a lot of my life to get perspective on. And I was constantly asking myself, have I gone too far? Have I not gone far enough in terms of dealing with it or putting it out on the table? And it was kind of a scary jump. And that's actually where Sam Beam was such a source of courage for me because, you know, when he called me up and said, it's really important what you're saying and I can tell you've been working hard and this is good, I didn't have perspective. And while it was scary, I actually think that's really the right place to come from as a writer, and I've just gotten more comfortable there.
I think a lot of people, when I'm trying to figure something out, I talk out loud.
Yeah.
And so I guess in a way, singing is a way of trying to figure out what it is that you think.
Yeah, absolutely. And writing for me as well, you know, I'm not a virtuoso musician by any stretch of the imagination. I've certainly worked with a lot of virtuosos, and I watch what they speak with their hands and their tone. And I think I play in a way that I support my writing and my singing. And I do think in terms of where we open our hearts is what where I open my heart, you know, in terms of my work, the closest, the widest is the questions that I'm dealing with and interested in at hand. I mean, I think anything you're making in the world, you're kind of just moving around in what is interesting and compelling to you, and if you kind of can't fake that or force it to be something else.
Well, we're talking with Tish Merritt, and of course, since you're talking about heart and opening up, motherhood is something that there's no way that becoming a parent doesn't affect every aspect of your life.
Every aspect.
Which is going to also affect your music, how you make it, maybe what you focus on. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of people, that fear of, am I going to be able to balance both things?
Yeah.
Is that an
issue? The answer is no. But the answer is also yes. I mean, for me, I have a lot less time to myself, but I really feel a lot like whatever that time I had before was not as worthwhile as any moment of my life right now that I'm a mother. My daughter is such a source of just pure joy and music and love. It's kind of the main line to all of those good things that I've been in pursuit of and wasn't quite sure how to find, and there it all is. So I feel like motherhood is really a lot about being present, and it really sorts out what's important and what is not important in 35 seconds. And then all of a sudden you have access to that and that presence when you come to your instrument or when you come to a microphone or when you come to a blank piece of paper. So, you know, it's less often that I'm spending time on myself, but I mean, who cares? What a relief.
So you learn a lot about yourself, though, whenever you have a child.
Absolutely. And my daughter is 11 months old right now, so unfortunately I know that a lot of the things I'm going to learn about myself are going to be when she's 14 and 18. But I have learned an enormous amount about everything through my daughter.
Well, I would love, Tift, if you would do a couple more songs from the album, and then there's a couple songs specifically I know that you know I want to talk to you about.
Okay, all right, sounds good. Yeah. Right, we have to do a really uninteresting job of tuning for 1 second. Okay, this next song is based on a Raymond Carver poem called My Boat. You ready? You ready, Eric Haywood?
Okay. Ish.
My boat, it's being made to order. Right now it's with the builder. My boat, my friends, room on board for my friends who're serious about this. My boat, George, Gary, Chuck, and Jim. On my boat, no one will be denied. On my boat, on my boat, get my head for the end. On my boat, on my boat, just having a real good time. On my boat, on my boat, on my boat, on my boat. Stories, room on board for stories, my own and everybody's, going on and on. Short ones, true ones and made up, ones still being written. On my boat, cherries, chicken, cheese and wine. Everything I am, my prince, I get my baby. On my boat, no one will be denied. On my boat, on my boat, no getting it falling behind. On my boat, on my boat, just having a real good time. On my boat, on my boat. Singing, eating and laughing down on my boat. You do whatever you want. On my boat, we may go a little way down the coast. We'll listen to the rolling storms. On my boat, boys, what a trip.
We are are live here on 91.3 WYEP with Tift Merritt. Eric Haywood is joining her on guitar. And Tift is playing Club Cafe tonight. I just wanted to point out that this is a private event, and it's an event that's made for and by WYEP members. When people support this radio station, we're able to do what we're doing right here in the studio, having a musician in, and get a chance to find out about the music and where it comes from. And you make that possible, so every so often we like to return the favor. And Tift, thank you for being here tonight.
Thank you for having me.
That song, My Boat, so that is a Raymond Carver tune. And the only other song that I'm aware of that was Raymond Carver inspired was called So Much Water, So Close to Home by Paul Kelly. And it was a very dark-themed song. And a lot of his stories are dark themed.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
You found the sweet side of Raymond Carver here.
Yeah, and I, you know, maybe that's why it did cry out to me to be a song. I mean, the poem is much longer than the lyric of the song. I really just drew the lines out that I wanted. But he has this exuberance in the poem about being on his boat and all the wonderful things they're going to do, and George and Gary and Chuck and Jim and all his friends. And it is a really bright moment for Raymond Carver. And the line that I was drawn to the most, though, was "No getting ahead or falling behind on my boat." And I felt like that was such a tender way to talk about what is good in human relations, and maybe something that is—I just had never put it. I'd never heard it put like that, and I thought it was so true. You know, it was just if you and I could be friends, and I wasn't trying to get anywhere, and I wasn't going to let anything bad happen, and there was no, you know, no clickbait in sight. I just thought that was a beautiful way to talk about what it is to mean something to each other. And then I had also, of course, seen Syrian refugee boats, and I think my boat has a social significance these days. And actually, I wrote that song last summer, or I put it together with what Raymond Carver wrote. And since then, with some of the policies of our country, I think my boat has taken on an even more important significance to talk about inclusion and equality. And, you know, I'm not an artist that operates well out of anger. I don't think that's my strong suit. But I will say that when I sing this song, that is what I'm putting in my voice right now is a hope for my dream of my boat and what I think this country as a big boat is supposed to be about.
That's a good point. Well, I'm not surprised that you would be drawn to a writer because I saw an interview you did where you talked about you weren't really sure exactly what your art form was going to be.
I'm still not.
You just threw it out there. You did everything. You painted, you wrote, you played music. So you're still working on that.
Well, I'm a terrible painter. I'm not any good with making things with visually. But I, you know, I do think I always feel very humbled and lucky to be able to speak the language of music at all. But I think writing is really where I'm most comfortable, and I've always been fascinated with when I was starting out, I wanted to write short stories, and I was always fascinated between what was different between a poem, a short story, and a song, because they're all relatively short forms, and they all have to have a really kind of explosive energy that takes you from beginning to end, as opposed to a novel, which is a lot not something that I have ever pictured myself writing. And that's one reason that I, you know, was reading Raymond Carver, because his poems are so powerful, and yet his short stories are so powerful too. And so I think of my songs as just short stories that I have these additional tools of melody and rhythm that function a lot like setting and plot and character. And I'm sometimes confused about maybe I should, you know, maybe I am a better writer than I am a musician. I always feel humbled by music. And I think if your creativity is kind of, if you're stoking it, you know, it sort of is hungry to learn from other mediums, which is not to say that you go out and conquer other mediums, but that you enjoy them and learn from them.
Well, so this is going to lead right into what I'm going to talk about. You know, some people might say that's hubris, but...
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm saying no. I don't want to be known as hubris.
No. But there might be some that would say, well, if you think you can try all these different things, well, who do you think
you
are?
Oh, yeah, no, I know.
And you have a song on the album called Icarus. And every time I've heard this character used as a, you know, as a metaphor, it's always negative. He flew too close to the sun, and he paid the price. He fell to earth. You don't do that.
I know, and I was thinking about poor Icarus. I mean, this guy has been damned as a bad example for such a long time. And you know, I just was thinking about how, first of all, nobody else got hurt but him. You know, I mean, of all the people that we could pick out as the moral of the story, this guy just wanted to fly, and he actually did it. He just flew a little too close to the sun on a hot day, and it all went south. And I think if we took that story in other contexts, we might say, try again, or some, you know. I know as a Southern woman, I was raised to be very cautious about thinking nice things about yourself. And in fact, my automatic internal response is to, you know, slap my hand down and remind myself that I'm going to hell if I think anything nice about myself. So I kind of think that I wanted to encourage the dreamers within all of us and give this, you know, just kind of nurse his bruises a little bit, that I figure for however many thousands of years he's paid for them by now. Now, on the other hand, speaking of hubris, I mean, I don't think that in our day and age, we have plenty of hubris and really good examples of it. And I think you all know what I'm talking about. So, you know, maybe we can go with that example and maybe give Icarus a little bit of a break and encourage, you know, encourage us all to try to fly.
Well, I'm going to encourage everybody to check out the video for this too, because it's really a beautiful video.
Thank you. Tell
us about, it's Marfa.
It
right?
is Marfa. It's Marfa, Texas, which is a very small art outpost cowboy town in far west Texas, mm-hmm. where I've spent a fair amount of time over the past 10 years on a friend's ranch out there. And it's, you know, whatever home is in my heart, it's a part of it. And Marfa is a high plains desert, so you can see for miles and miles and miles. I mean, you can see a car coming from 4 days away. And it was a mile to the road where I was staying. And so in terms of where I pictured being able to stumble upon poor Icarus and his broken wings and his feathers a flutter, this was a pretty picturesque spot. And the video is actually a lot of footage from Marfa that a friend of mine, Peter Gannon, took and put together for me. So it does feel the way that Marfa makes me feel.
Of course, Tift Merritt, we have to ask you to do that song.
Oh, no, I can't do that song.
You can't do that song today?
I can't, because it's a piano song.
Then you know what? The folks that are coming tonight will get to hear
it,
right?
Yeah, tonight, I promise, cross my heart and hope to die, that I will play Icarus. And that was such a beautiful segue that I just totally crash-landed. Speaking of crash-landings.
But you know what? This also encourages people to get the album.
Yes, please.
Stitch of the World. They can get the album.
Yes.
They can become members and go to see you as in the future, because tonight, sorry, we've got a full house.
Oh, we do. That's wonderful.
Yes. So what are you going to do here today?
Well, I will do. Oh, boy.
I'll do Icarus.
I feel
afterwards.
Really guilty about all of that. How about I do a song about solo traveling, just not Icarus in particular?
Okay, what are we going to hear?
How about Traveling Alone?
Thank you.
funny thing wouldn't faze me now. I feel like I just got home. You know I always had a taste for traveling the road. Only get this one time around. You better speak up straight. Better speak up proud. But Lord, if he's not at home, they'll always had a taste for traveling alone. Oh, if I had his son, I'd make him lay, teach him something. Like a pretty girl, don't even know. I guess everybody here is traveling alone. Cigarettes and a pickup truck. I'm gonna leave this town now. I got some friends of mine. Ocean. Oh,
Ladies and gentlemen, you've just had the pleasure of listening to Tift Merritt, who is not traveling alone. She's got Eric Haywood with her, guitarist extraordinaire. And thank you so much for taking time out in the middle of the day to come in here and talk with us and play music.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank all of you very much. Thanks for having me.